Well, good evening and a greeting to you in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you here. And if I'm honest, I'm a bit more on the finally side than the it's already side. But I wanted to thank you for your kindness and your goodness to us for the gift this afternoon. And I have been loved to be here. And thank you for that and for your desire to do what's right and for the faithfulness that this group represents. Turn with me here to 2 Samuel chapter 18. A bit of a departure from the theme here tonight at the end. Second Samuel 18 and verse 18. And it says this: Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and is called unto this day Absalom's place. Absalom's place. And that's the title of the message tonight, Absalom's Place. And what would cause a man to, during your lifetime, in his lifetime, and somehow he felt the need there in the King's Dale. I don't know where that was, but He found a way to, and he felt the need that he wanted a, what do they call it? A pillar there. I don't know how high it was or if it was gold plated or not or what that thing looked like. But he wanted a pillar in the King's Dale, not after God's name, not for the nation or the people of God. He wanted a pillar there in the King's Dale after his own name. Absalom's place. And Absalom's been here. And Absalom has made a mark here in this land. And here it is. And this is a big old pillar, because I want people to remember that I have been here. What a man. Absalom's place. And 1 John 2:12 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And here was a man who, you know the story, a man who did his own will. And we don't find too much concern for the will of the Father. And we don't find him making a pillar and taking a stand for God. But here was a man who, with the pride of life, and in a sad verse, no one to carry on his name, and worse yet, no one to carry on his purpose, and no one to care. And so I must make a pillar in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. Absalom's place. And James 4:6 tells us, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we find here the end of a proud man. This man, Absalom, with a pillar to his name. And I'm reminded of the verse there in Leviticus 26 where it says, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And God said he resists the proud. And God is against that. And your heaven is iron. And your prayers bounce off and just echo in your world. And they didn't get through. And your earth is brass, and it was hard, and life didn't work out, and the things you tried to do were failures. God resists the proud. You know, there's quite a number of lessons that we can learn about what a proud man is like from this man Absalom. And he left a track record of tremendous pride. And I'd like to just spend a little bit of time seeing how we arrived at the end of this story of this man, Absalom, here with this pillar in the Kingsdale, a pillar to me, a pillar to me. And as we go through this, you know, the obvious implications is, what is the effects of your life? And is God resisting you? And has God made your heaven as iron? And your earth as brass? And am I a proud man? What does a proud man look like? That's what we'd like to learn tonight from this man, Absalom. And if you were to turn back now several chapters to chapter 13, and we see the incident here with, you know, Absalom's sister Tamar and this happening with Amnon there. And the thing that kicked this whole life off. And here we find the beginning of the story of Absalom here in protection of his sister. And we see a man that when things had gone wrong, there in verse 22 of 13. We see a man, and Absalom spake unto his brother, neither good nor bad. For he hated him. For he hated him. And I would like to say the first thing I notice about a proud man is that he is sure. He's sure of his stand. He's sure of his calling. He's sure of what has happened. And he is self-assured. And he knows. And he knows what happened and know what the wrongs were. Self-assured. We see then a man who is proud in verse 28 there. A man who is proud is a deceitful man. A man who has, at the very least, deceived himself. Deceived himself into thinking that he was something he wasn't. And here we find as he came up to this time here with Amnon, he tricked him. And what was presented as friendship and kindness was actually a chance to get even, and a chance to set the record straight, and a chance to do what Dad wouldn't do. And I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do it myself. So he deceived his brother. And closely tied there is bitterness and unforgiveness to this man, Absalom. Pride. Pride don't forgive. And of all the ways to, of all the correct ways or redemptive ways to help this sad situation, you know, here an outsider, a bystander, Absalom, he chose not to forgive. And a proud man can't forgive. And pride stands in the way of forgiveness. And you see a dad in this story, very wroth, there, verse 21, with Amnon. And a dad who I am certain, whose conscience, one chapter back, there with Bathsheba. And why don't Dad do something about this? In this terrible situation, I will not forgive. And if Dad won't do it, then I will. And a proud man doesn't forgive. And a proud man in church doesn't forgive. And a proud man in church whose dad has wronged him doesn't forgive. And a proud man remembers that night and what was done and what was said. And for years, 2 years, he waited. Here the story says. And Dad did me wrong. And Dad didn't fix it. And I won't forgive. And I hate him. Pride doesn't forgive. Verse 26 there of chapter 14, then we see a man who will dress to be noticed, this national scene with his hair. And all of Israel there knew about it and praised this man for his looks. And this scene with his hair, you see a man who wanted to be noticed. And the way he presented himself was to be noticed. And a proud man needs to be noticed. And he needs to be noticed enough to put a big old pillar in the King's Dale to me. A pillar to me. Pride needs to be noticed. Going then to 14 verse 30, we see, therefore he said unto his servants, see, Job's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire, and Absalom's servant set the field on fire. And we see a man here who was willing to hurt the people who were trying to help him. Pride will do that. If you look back in the story to the first verse of chapter 14, it says, "Now Joab the son of Zeruiah perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom." And he knew this was a tricky situation here, Joab did. And David had a lot of feelings. And this thing wasn't okay. And you find Joab tricking David into seeing himself in this story with this woman he sent. Joab set this up. And Joab thought it through and he said, "You know what? I can see that David would like to find a way to fix this up with Absalom." The king's heart was towards Absalom, 14:1. And Joab was a smart man, if not a wise man. He was at least a smart man, a clever man. And intensely loyal to David. And here's something that David wanted. And so Joab, you find, figuring out a way to get Absalom back there. The story in chapter 14. And go get this man. And Joab was working towards a reconciliation of some sort. And yeah, Absalom was there because Joab figured out how to get him there. And he was working him back towards that. And then you find this man. One day, "You know what? Joab won't come talk to me now. Go set his field on fire." Go set his field on fire. And a proud man will hurt those who are trying to help him. And pride's a tricky thing to get over. And an incredibly tricky thing to see in yourself. And your wife came and she said, "Honey, did you really want to say it that way? Is that how you wanted to come across? And should you have responded like that?" And the answer is, "And what did you tell her?" And she was trying to help, and she was trying to make it better for you. "And what did you say?" And a proud man hurts those who are trying to help. You see it here with Absalom. You see, too, in that story of the burning field, that cloud of smoke. And I can see Joab at breakfast. And there he is, and he's about to go on his day, and the field's on fire. And he races out there with his servants, and there they are lighting it. And Joab down at Absalom's door. "What are you doing? And why is my field on fire?" And you will find a man, a proud man, he cannot communicate civilly. And he's quick with his tongue. And he's cutting with his tongue. And he has much to say. And it's thoughtless and harsh and breaking instead of healing. And here's a man who wanted to communicate. He wanted to talk to him. And he lit it up, the conversation. Proud man cannot communicate civilly. A proud man is arrogant in wickedness. Arrogant in his wickedness. And you find that in verse 32 there. And right after the fire, and Absalom said unto Joab, Behold, a senator of thee saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It hath been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. If there be any iniquity in me. And you murdered him, your brother, Amnon, that night, when his heart was merry with wine. And yet you're willing to say, if there be any iniquity in me. If there be. And you're a murderer. And you killed him. And everybody knew you did it. And there's no secret here. And there doesn't need to be a trial. And your servants were there. And the rest of the brothers were there. And they knew you did it. And they knew why you did it. And it was you. And a proud man is arrogant in his wickedness. If there be any, you know, let him come and kill me. Let him do this. This man, Absalom. Deceitful, unforgiving. He liked to be noticed. He hurt people who were trying to help him. He couldn't communicate civilly. He was arrogant in his wickedness. And are you arrogant in your response to the laws of the land and the standards of your church and your brotherhood agreements? And do you tell your friends and the words that you speak and the stance that you take, is it arrogant? And what they don't know, don't hurt them. And catch me if you can. Hear this man Absalom, and here was a proud man. Verse 15. And here you see a man who liked to make a show on the road. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And here they came down the king's highway. And the chariots, and I suppose you stood aside, and I suppose it was the equivalent of a caravan of black Escalades. Those chariots of Absalom and those men. And it was power, and it was authority, and it was prestige there on the king's highway. And he made all these guys run before him. And when Absalom came by, people noticed. People noticed. And isn't it something how human nature never changes? And when you go by, is it a show there on the road? And you get it all ready, and you intend to make a scene when you go by. Pride likes to make a show on the road. For thousands of years. Pride makes you ambitious. This is getting to more of a better known part of Absalom's story. As he with intent and with purpose set out to steal the hearts of the people, and we find him there in the gate, and everybody that come in to talk to the king for some kind of a equitable settlement met first with Absalom there at the gate, and he shook their hand and he talked nice, and he said, you know, if I was the king, I'd take your side in this story. See, thy matters are good and right. Verse 3, chapter 15. And I've wondered, what did he tell the other guy that came in 15 minutes later to this court trial? Were his matters good and right too? An ambitious man who wanted to be a judge, verse 4, and a king. This man Absalom, and pride makes you ambitious and makes you want to be the first to talk and the first to have an opinion and the loudest opinion and to make your way stick and to have your ideas be the one that follow through and you want to be the one. Follow me here, verse 4-6 there, this ambitious man. And I will be your friend and come with me. And it does not appear he was very interested in truth and equity and God's cause. Where was God's cause in this man's life? There's a man who pursued his own cause, and pride makes you ambitious. An ambitious ambition removes from you the desire for God's cause, and it becomes your cause and your will and your project and your committee and your school board and your church. And now it's not God's anymore. It's mine. And here in my kingdom, I'm building a tower to me here in my kingdom. Pride makes you a hypocrite. Verse 7 to 9 here. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the king. And the king said unto him, go in peace. And he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, and onward it goes. And this pilgrimage to thank God for something he had done was just a smokescreen and a farce and a pretense to steal the kingdom. And David said, go in peace, go in peace. And pride makes you a hypocrite. And we know how that starts. And it's so easy. And we've done wrong ourselves. And yet we come and we come to the assembly and we present ourselves as something different than we know that we were. Why? Because I have to give up my pride otherwise. And I have to admit what I did otherwise. And it'll lower me and they won't think as well of me. Brethren, you know that's how it is. It's pride there. And so pride makes us a hypocrite. We pretend something that we're not. Pretend something we're not. And here was a man for his ulterior motives, pretending something he wasn't, made him a hypocrite. Pride intends to be offensive. Verse 22 there, chapter 16, I believe. The incident with the concubines on top of the house for all the nation to see. And he intended it to hurt, and he intended it to be offensive. And he was making a statement when he said it. And you're there, and you're in the conversation, and it's getting hot, and you've got a full head of steam, and when you said what you said, you intended it to hurt. And you intended it to cut. And when you're when your husband got home, and it wasn't quite what you wanted, and it was later, and you didn't like it, and you made that statement about his character or his conduct or his worth, and you're upset, and you intended it to hurt when you said that. And it was pride that did that. Pride that did that. And here, this offense with these concubines, it was intentional. And he wanted it to hurt. Pride will do that. Pride intends to be offensive. We could go then to verse 14 of chapter 18. And here you see the sad end to this story. And here you see an angry Joab, this clever man, this smart guy. And he found out that they saw him there in the oak tree. He was caught up there, and I don't know if it was all this hair or what he had going on in the oak tree. It just doesn't seem too hard to climb down from an oak tree. But here he was caught. Joab heard about it. And this was the man who had spent time and energy, and he had tried to work it out with David, and he figured out a clever way to get David to come on board and lay his own whatever it was down and invite Absalom back, because we're going to try to make this thing all right. And this Joab had got Absalom. But you know, this man Joab was all done. He was just all done with Absalom. And he wasn't trying anymore. And he was sick of it. And it didn't matter if the king said save his life. Here was a man who was done with Absalom. And he killed him. 3 darts to the heart. And you would have to say that this pride of Absalom and that big old bonfire in the field and the conduct unbecoming to someone of his station. You know, if there was ever an enemy that you earned, Absalom, it was this man, Joab. And pride hurts those who try to help. And pride makes enemies out of your friends. And the people that are close and ought to care, and you walked close beside and knew you and could help you, and now they hate you. And now they wouldn't walk across the street for you. And they're sick of you. And pride did that. Pride made enemies out of your friends. And we find a lonely man with no sons, it says. Because he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And so he's out there building a tower to me. What do we do then with chapter 14, verse 27? It says this, and unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. You know, that old name with the old hurt. And she was a woman of fair countenance. Absalom born 3 sons, and we get here to the end of his life, and he has not a son to pass on his name and his cause. And I don't know what you want to do with that discrepancy. But I find a proud man, I can easily imagine a proud man. And those little boys were born, three of them. And with his, with their pedigree, probably good-looking little boys. And they're Absalom's boys. And he had a chance with the boys. And somehow, he got to the end and they were gone. And somehow they weren't with Dad anymore. And you may mark that down to war, but it seems to me that a man like Absalom, that as he approached life and he couldn't work it out with them either, and he probably couldn't. And there's a lot of dads here, and there's a potential for a lot of hurts here, and there's a lot of children here, and you know, I have no idea what your history is like, but pride is real, and now you've got a chance. Let's see with your little guys, and you know, if yours is a life of pride, you know, you can't make their choices for them. Of course, and they can choose to do well, but I tell you, a proud man begets proud children, and a proud man teaches pride, and a proud man hurts those little boys, because you see, he can't back up, and he can't say he's sorry, and he's always right, and his communication is hurtful, and His life is a show, and the hypocrisy is there. And those little guys grow up, as they often do, in a home like that, and they hate him. And I want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. And I'm going to skip town. I don't want to have anything to do with that stupid pillar down there in the Kingsdale. And Absalom at the end. And the boys were gone somehow. And I tend to believe that's how. And there was no ownership there. And I don't have sons. Here, this proud man. And the boys are gone. And he's all alone. You know, of all the things that pride is, and pride is extremely lonely. It's just you. Just you. And pride is lonely. Isaiah tells us that, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And it's an awful thing there, pride. And pride ruins your future. And he was thrown out of heaven, this man. And there's no future in heaven for pride. No future there. You know, I don't know how this finds you as a person, and I don't know if you saw yourself, if you saw somebody close to you that you loved, you know, pride is these things. Pride is deceitful. It's unforgiving. It dresses to be noticed. It hurts people who's trying to help you. Pride can't communicate civilly. Pride is arrogant in its wickedness. Pride likes to make a show. Pride is ambitious. Pride is hypocritical. Pride intends to be offensive. And pride makes enemies out of your friends. And here we see at the end of life a man who, far from God, no concept of God, and it was just all about this life and all about me. And he got to the end, and as the battle played out, and as he ran, and he got on that mule, and he tried to get away, and it all came down, and there was a bill to pay for the way that he had lived. You know, it's so easy to be proud. And proud is what you are, unless you're doing something about it. Proud is what you are. I think I'm gonna, why don't we just bow our heads for prayer here?